the Hebrew, Devarim. Devarim, coming to us, of course, chapter 1, verse 1. Devarim. Abba Yahweh, we just lift this time up to you and just ask that you would give me the words through your Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, to speak and teach to your people, Abba Yahweh, that we may all learn and become more like your Son. Amen. So Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 1, Devarim chapter 1 verse 1. In the Hebrew, it's Et Mishnah HaTorah, or a copy or repetition of Torah. Or sometimes people call it Mishnah Torah, the second or the recounting of the Torah. So what we're going to see is this is the whole of Torah. The previous four books are really condensed into this last book. So like I said earlier, it's really the Reader's Digest of what's gone on previously. And what we're going to see here also, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher. It's his farewell speech to a new generation. It's his farewell speech to a new generation. Of course, we have only from the old generation, Moshe, Caleb, and Yehoshua. And we're going to see the transition now from Moshe's leadership to Yehoshua, Joshua's leadership. It's also called the Book of Deuteronomy, or Devarim in the Hebrew. It's called the Book of Ethics. Ultimately, it's a book about ethical guidance throughout the generations, going from one generation that did not complete the fullness of what Yahweh had for them, now going on to a new generation. So Devarim, really, in the Hebraic understanding, it means the mouth of Torah. Because out of Devarim, like I said, comes the whole of the Torah. It's summarizing all that has happened before. It's summarizing all that's gone on before in the main body. It's where we're at, I think, as a people too. Isn't Yahweh trying to summarize in our bodies all that's gone on before? That he's trying to make us a new generation? That where our forefathers failed, that we would be that generation that would succeed, just like the generation that Joshua, Yehoshua, would lead into the land. So another word for this book in the Hebrew would be suf debar, which means the last words, because we get, of course, Moshe's last words, and we'll get a farewell discourse and a song to Israel within this book. So what it really means, Devarim, is agriculturally, the scripture we know is very agricultural, especially when you get into the Brit Hadashah, what's called the New Testament. It means agriculturally to point back to a food source or the head of a house. That's what Deuteronomy means. Where did we get the word Deuteronomy? Well, it came to us through Hellenized Jews. Hellenized Jews used to call this book Deuteromion. Or second law. Now in the Latin Vulgate, it comes across as Deuteromium. And then of course in the King James Version, it comes across as Deuteronomy. But what really is, if this is the last word that is going to be spoken, what really is the last word? It's in Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. For this is the entire duty of all mankind. For Elohim shall bring every work into Mishpat, judgment, and every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. That is really the last word. So I'm excited as we get into Devarim. Let's have a look at Devarim using the ancient language. Of course, Devarim, we have the Dalet Bet Resh, which means word, Devar. The Dalet Bet Resh. The interpretation, of course, the Dalet meaning a door. And then when you take the Bet Resh, you have what's called bar, where we get bar mitzvah, son of the commandments. Bar means son. So what does word mean in the Hebrew? The word is the door through which the son comes. Don't we know that from the Brit Hadashah? I mean, when you really go back to that ancient language, everything makes so much sense. That's why in these days that we're starting to see more and more come forward in the word of Yahweh. So I want to digress a little bit before I actually get into the portion, because like I shared earlier a little bit with my testimony, we're talking about Devarim, words. We are talking about the word. And we all would know when you speak about the word, automatically, hopefully as a believer, that would reference to you Mashiach. Devarim, the Hebrew there, devar, meaning the word. What did Mashiach say? He said so many things that just resound and resound within us. Lo, in the volume of the scroll, it is written of me. And he reasoned in the scriptures, showing himself in the beginning at Moses and at the prophets. Yeshua, he met the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he reasoned in the scriptures, showing himself from the Torah into the prophets, into the writings. And they understood who it was. Because he was able to show within the Torah himself. Yeshua said, for if you don't believe Moses' words, then how will you believe my words? For Moses wrote about me. He said, I and the Abba are echad. We are one. And we know that Rav Shaliach Shaul, the Apostle Paul, he says, in the Hebrew language. So I want to get into something that I think is so important because it is the word. And that is what's called the Aleph and the Tav. And we can see this in the Hebrew, the Aleph and the Tav. The Aleph means the ox, the strength of Yahweh. And the Tav is a sign or a cross or a covenant. So what does the Aleph Tav mean? This is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It means the ox, the strength of Yahweh, is the sign of the cross or covenant. That's what I want to examine a little bit today because I would like to expose that more and more. Many of you grew up hearing the Greek words where Yeshua said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Where really, he would have said, I am the Aleph and the Tav, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and the last letter. In Kepher Bet, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, it's written, by the word of Eloah, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. The word goes all the way back to where? Brethren? Huh? Creation. The word stands out all the way back to creation. Look what we have in the Hebrew if we were to understand Yochanan, John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the word. What word? You see, many of us were taught, you've got saved, brother. Come on forward. We'll sit down, I'll meet you at Bible study next week and we'll start in John chapter 1 verse 1. I mean, come on, am I telling the truth? How many of us? Well, really, when we get into the Hebrew, we understand that the book of John, Yochanan, it is the so mysterious, deep level of scripture being revealed by one of the writers of the Brit Hadashah. It's not something that you can just skim the milk off the top. So from Yochanan's perspective, in the beginning was the word or the Aleph Tav. That's the word he's referring to. In the beginning. In Genesis, because that word there would be Bereshit. In the book of Genesis was the Aleph and the Tav, and the Aleph Tav was with Elohim, and the Aleph Tav was Elohim. The Aleph Tav was Elohim. And we'll go back to Bereshit, Genesis chapter 1. I have to tell you my testimony. I got saved in my early 20s, and this is so typical of Satan. So typical, and I've seen it happen with many other people, and I certainly don't know where a lot of you have come out of, so I do not want to offend anyone. But I got saved when I was in my early 20s and I didn't know anything. But I guarantee you, this is the truth. Within several weeks, I'm living in South Salem, and what do I get? My wife hadn't come to faith at that time. I get this. And I go to the door. And who do you think, brethren, is at my door? Who do you think? The Jehovah Witnesses are at my door. Because what's happened is I have now come to faith. And S.A. Tan can't take away that. But what he can do is he can sidetrack me and make me ineffective for the kingdom of Yahweh. And I hope that my life is effective for the kingdom of Yahweh. That's why I'm here. So within just a few weeks of me getting saved, S.A. Tan sent some people round and they hit me with this in the Greek. And they're trying to tell me and convince me of a different Yeshua. And my wife wasn't even saved. And this is why, husbands, we really have to understand the beginning, Genesis. I'm really excited to teach Bereshit this year, of the importance of the role of our wives. Because my wife hadn't even come to faith. She came to faith maybe 6 months after me. And this is just a few weeks after I came to faith. And she said, Matthew, they're trying to deceive you. Don't speak to them. This was after I was out there for 20 minutes talking to them with my newfound faith and arranging an appointment for them to come back. You see, our wives are spiritual barometers that we need to listen to. Because when we understand the Aleph and the Tav, which you will today, it will blow apart a false religion like Jehovah Witnesses. It will just blow it apart, because the word will prove who was at the beginning, who is the creator. Of course, the common doctrine of Jehovah Witnesses is that Jesus was a man, that there was, that you can't have him being Elohim. We can prove through the scriptures today what the Aleph Tav is. So let's turn, of course, to a familiar scripture. We are looking at the word. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, but the word truly is more than just pages on a Bible. It is the living, manifest power of Yahweh that walks among us. It is not the Alpha and the Omega. It is the Aleph and the Tav. So today, we're going to look back here. Bereshit. Look what it says in the Hebrew. And there is that word that Yochanan spoke about. It's the same word that Yochanan wrote. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. But look at the transliteration. Bereshit bara Elohim Aleph Tav. In the beginning, Elohim Aleph Tav created the heavens and the earth. Does that make sense to you? Who was Elohim? Elohim was the Aleph Tav, is the Aleph Tav, is the word. You have just got rid of a whole false religion right there by going back to the Hebrew. And you know what, brethren? Many, many years later, I'm now living in a different place out in the countryside with a long gravel driveway. And I'm keeping Torah. And my dog's barking. And there's a Jehovah Witness at my gate. When he spoke to me, he turned around, immediately got in his car and backed all the way down my driveway and never came back. Because I took him to who is the I Am, the first and the last, the Aleph and the Tav, through Genesis, Revelation, John chapter 1 verse 1, and of course Isaiah the prophet, who tells you it is Yahweh. Mouth on the floor, he got into his car. He is an old man, and he backed all the way down my driveway, bumping into the gravel, into the thorn bushes all the way back. And I didn't feel bad about it. I wasn't going to open my gate and let him come in. You see, because I knew who it was that was trying to derail me and make my life ineffective. Because Devarim, the words. The word is what is so powerful in our lives. So right there, we can see now, this is the first time of the Hebrew translation of Revelation 23, verse 13. Those of you that love the Hebrew, look at that. Fully translated out. Beautiful. The Aleph Tav. Anochi Aleph Tav. Anochi Aleph Vetav Rishon Recha Cha Ron Rosh Va Sof. I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Isn't that amazing? Right there in the Hebrew, buried, sowed, mysteriously, to be revealed that you can no longer excuse yourself for why this Devarim, this Devar, this word of Yahweh is so powerful in our lives. You see, the Jewish rabbis, even the Jewish rabbis, they say the Aleph and the Tav represents perfection and completion. Is that true of Mashiach? Does he represent perfection and completion? Who remembers the flaying of the animals? And Avraham was supposed to walk between the pieces, but Yahweh put him to sleep, and he walked between the pieces as a burning torch and a flaming oven. Avraham saw my day and rejoiced. Didn't Yeshua say that? Yeshua said, Avraham saw my day and rejoiced. This is where Yeshua saw Avraham. Because Avraham did not walk through the covenant, did he? Did he fulfill the covenant, Zach? No, that was the cutting of the covenant. Whoever walks between the pieces has to fulfill the covenant, even if the future generations fail. That one that walks through the pieces is having to fulfill the covenant. Right within that scripture, brethren, the Aleph Tav appears 12 times, representing that I have not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. All 12 tribes, I'll fulfill the covenant for them. Even when they fail, I will fulfill the covenant for them, saith the Aleph, the Tav, the first and the last. I mean, am I just extremely excited, or does that hit you? I mean, that's powerful to me. I love it. When Avraham was put to sleep at the flaying of the pieces, the Aleph Tav appears 12 times in the text. Yeshua is the burning lamp and the smoking furnace. The 12 instances of the Aleph Tav represent the covenant to the 12 tribes of Israel. The Aleph Tav would pay the price for either Abraham or Abraham's seed not fulfilling that covenant. The Aleph Tav came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It makes sense to the Hebrew mind. They would understand this. Even the Jewish rabbis understand that the Aleph Tav is perfection and completion. In Shemot, Exodus chapter 12, verse 27. You shall say, it is the sacrifice of Yahweh's Passover. Is the Aleph Tav the Passover lamb? Who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, and he smote Aleph Tav, the Egyptians. Right there. I mean, I can't tell you my life in an afternoon. Excuse me while I get emotional. I mean, I can't tell you my life in an afternoon, but I can tell you of my powerful love for Mashiach because of what he's done in my life. And I can't tell you, brethren, how many times people have come in my life to try and sidetrack me and make me ineffective for the kingdom. How many times Satan has sent spiritual people, deceivers, to try and sidetrack me. And this to me is so powerfully encouraging that I am on the right path, the narrow path. The first scripture that my wife and I ever, ever memorized in bed together was this scripture: enter through the narrow gate.
For wide is the road and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. But narrow is the road and small is the gate that leads to life. And I know that. So when I read this, I know who my Mashiach is. The Aleph Tav is a security and comfort to all of us. Like I was saying in Exodus chapter 12, verse 27, when he, the Aleph Tav, smote the Egyptians, the Aleph Tav delivered our houses and the people bowed the head and worshipped. We are on the right track if we are clinging hold of our first love. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 4, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, Yahweh, the first and the last, I am he. So Yahweh is claiming that he is the Aleph Tav. When I shared that scripture with the Jehovah Witness, he had no response. No response. Because Satan would just love to sidetrack us. In Deuteronomy, Devarim, chapter 6, verse 5, it'll be next week's Torah portion. And you shall love Aleph Tav Yahweh. You shall love the Alpha and the Omega, if you must, if you will. Yahweh, your Elohim. Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. I set before you blessing, Aleph Tav, it appears in the text right there, and curse. And the Hebrew word curse, it omits the Aleph Tav. Because if you're going to be cursed, that means you've got no Aleph Tav. If you're going to be blessed, then you have the word. Does everyone understand me when I'm referring to the Aleph Tav now, who I'm referring to? So I don't want you just thinking I just keep repeating the first letter and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like you, and will put my words in his mouth. This is Yahweh speaking to Moshe. And he shall speak the Aleph Tav unto them, all that I shall command him. So a true prophet of Yahweh will speak forth the Aleph Tav, the word, the Devar, Yeshua. That's the true prophet. It's all encoded within the very scriptures that we love. And in verse 20 of Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 18, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, Aleph Tav, which I have not commanded him to speak, or shall speak in a name other of other Elohim, even that prophet shall die. Right here, we see in Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3, those of you familiar with that text, is the blessings. And later on, in verse 14, we begin to get into the curses. But the blessings are framed with the Aleph and the Tav. In Vayikra, Leviticus, chapter 26, 3, the text begins with an Aleph. The word that we call if is the Aleph Tav. Aleph Tav, if you will walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, all of these blessings will come with you. And then finally, verse 13, I am Yahweh your Elohim who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. And you should not be their slaves. And I have broken the bands of your yoke that you may go, Tav, upright. Tav, right there. Isn't that amazing? So all of the blessings are framed and contained within Mashiach, contained within the very word, the Devar Yahweh. We are in the book of word, Devarim. And what a powerful, powerful thing. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it is written, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And Yahweh hath laid on him
the Aleph Tav, iniquity of us all. You see, the Aleph Tav, all the iniquity of us all is going to be laid upon the Aleph Tav.
In Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12, Zechariah.
And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price, Aleph Tav, 30 pieces of silver. Right there. They're going to pay 30 pieces of silver for the Aleph Tav. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith Yahweh of hosts. Smite the shepherd, Aleph Tav, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Right before Mashiach is about to go and be crucified, he quotes this very scripture to his Talmudim. Strike the shepherd, the Aleph Tav, and my sheep will be scattered. You'll all run. It's prophesied right here. You see, when we go back to the Hebrew language and we show that Yeshua is the Aleph Tav, every tongue is stopped and every knee shall bow and they shall have to confess. I mean, Yahweh is going to reveal it to his saints. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Look at this. The Aleph Tav and the pierced one. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me, Aleph Tav, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness of his firstborn. So Zechariah the prophet tells us that the Aleph Tav is going to be pierced. You shall look upon the Aleph Tav who is pierced. One of the Jewish sages, Ibn Ezra, who lived in the 12th century, he wrote, quote, all the heathen shall look to me to see what I shall do to those who pierced Messiah, the son of Joseph. This is from a 12th century rabbi who just read the scriptures, read the text, and he understood these things. How would the Kohen Hagadol, the high priest, how would the high priest communicate with Yahweh? Through the Urim, the lights, and the Thummim, the perfections. Umim is the Aleph in the Hebrew. Thummim is the Tav. That's how you communicate to Yahweh. Through the high priest, you go to Yahweh, you pick up the Aleph and the Tav, the lights and perfections, and that is the only way you get to communicate with the Father. It's right there in the Hebrew. He can take somebody out of the nations who's been, generations have been lost, who's grown up in depravity and sickness and perversion, and he can say, I will give you the Aleph and the Tav so that you can communicate with me. Just like I did with the priests, the high priest, the Aleph and the Tav. The Umim, light, Aleph is the first letter of the word Urim, and Thummim, perfection, Tav is the first letter of that word. Some more powerful scriptures. Bamidbar, Numbers, chapter 26, verse 10. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When that company died, what time the fire, Aleph Tav, devoured 250 men. You see, Yeshua, the Aleph Tav, devoured 250 men because he isn't just going to be the Prince of Peace. He's going to be the warrior king whose garments are going to be drenched in blood. He's done it before and he'll do it again. It's amazing stuff. If we look at the Hebrew word emet, it means truth. Don't we know from the Brit Hadashah that the Aleph Tav Yeshua said that I am the truth. Emet is spelled Aleph Mem Tet. If you remove the Aleph, you're left with another Hebrew word called Met, which means
death. If you remove the aleph, you're left with met, which means death. And we know that Rav Shuliach said, the wages of sin are death. But those of us that are redeemed, we grasp hold of the aleph and taf, and that's our testimony. Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. For out of Sion shall go forth the Torah. I mean, how many of us know this scripture? I mean, we know this scripture so many times. We've sung it in songs. We say it when the Torah comes out. For out of Sion shall go forth the Torah and the word of Yahweh from Yerushalayim. This scripture is the messianic fulfillment of our faith. It's a future thing where there's going to be peace. There's going to be shalom. And look what it says. You know, this very scripture has been counterfeited. You know that this scripture is engraved in stone upon the UN building in New York. And that there is a white horse out front with an olive branch that is bowed with a rider on it. Engraved upon in stone, because the UN is setting itself up as the one that can bring in peace, that will be able to take swords and beat them into plowshares. The UN is setting itself up as the anointed one. But we know that's why the UN believes that they can dictate to the state of Israel. And it goes on to say, for out of Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of Yahweh from Yerushalayim. And he shall be a shofet, a prophet between the nations. And he shall rebuke many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into aleph tav, plowshares. You see, the aleph tav is the plowshare. Listen to me, because you're going to love this. They shall beat their swords into the aleph tav, the plowshare. And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O Beit Yaakov, O house of Jacob, come and let us have our halacha in the light of Yahweh. Now we understand what Yeshua meant. If Yeshua is the plow, share the olive tav, what did he mean when he said, you, no one who puts their hand to the olive tav, the plow, and looks back is fit to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. Once you grasp hold of Yeshua, if you look back, you're not fit to go into the kingdom of Yahweh. That's your first love. Because the plow share is the olive tav. True shalom. I mean, how many, we've got one out in the lobby when you come in. What is the true symbol of our faith? The crucifix. No, it's not. Stop laughing. The true symbol of our faith is what, brethren? It's the menorah. Why do you say that? Do we have a scripture to back it up? Of course we do. In the book of Revelation is just one. That if you don't repent, I will remove my menorah from your assemblies. It's been removed from our assemblies. Right within the menorah, we're going to see that very center branch, Yeshua. Yeshua is the Shemesh, the servant. Look, the very first seven words of scripture. Bereshit bara Elohim aleph tav ha-shamayim ve'et ha'aretz. Yeshua is the center branch on which everything hangs. He is the servant light. I am the light of the olam, world. You are children of light. I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you are nothing. And if you are broken off, there is no light. I mean, it's powerful. The aleph tav, the center branch of menorah, that is the symbol of our faith. So, the reason I wanted to share all of that is because if we're going into the book of words, Deuteronomy, then we really must understand what we're really talking about here. We're talking about Yeshua. We're talking about the aleph tav that holds us all together. So let's go back to our Torah Parsha. And we're going to see right now four speeches given by Moshe Rabbeinu. In chapter 1 through chapter 4, there's the first speech given by Moshe Rabbeinu, and it covers an introduction. In chapter 5 through chapter 26 is the main body of Moshe Rabbeinu's speech. In chapter 27 and chapter 28, we have an admonition. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 29 to 30, we have Teshuvah, repentance. You see, Devarim is a series of four speeches delivered by Moshe to Israel just a few weeks before his death. I wonder, did Moshe know who the Olive Tav was? Of course. He was writing it within the Torah. Devarim, Deuteronomy, is mainly written in the first person. But what we'll be able to do by locating the text that's written in the first person, you can locate these four major speeches. So let's find that first speech. If you go to Deuteronomy, we'll see in verse 6 where it shifts to the first person singular rather than the third person singular. Yahweh, our Elohim. That's the first, very first part of the speech. And you can see how it shifts again in the 40th verse. And this is how you come to determine where the speeches of Moses are within this very book. First person begins in verse 6. Yahweh, our Elohim. And look at verse 40 of chapter 1. But as for you, turn and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Sea of Reeds. And then verse 41. Then you answered and said to me, we have sinned against Yahweh. We will go up and fight according to all that Yahweh our Elohim commanded when you have girded up every man his weapons of war. Excuse me, I meant chapter 4, verse 40. I've got somebody read me chapter 4, verse 40. And then verse 41, please. And we'll see the shift from first person back into the plural. Evan, chapter 4, verse 40. You see the shift right there? You get a shift from first person in the 40th verse of chapter 40. Chapter 4, verse 40. You get a shift from the first person and then into the 41st verse. You get that shift right there and transition into plural. So that's how we can, just by carefully reading the text, you can establish exactly where Moses' four speeches are within the text. I wanted to share that with you. So before we get further off track, I don't want to lose what we're here for, Devarim, chapter 1, verse 1. We'll actually see within these first few verses the seven sins of Israel, and Moshe Rabbeinu veils it in the text because Israel knew what they had done, and he veils it just within the very first verses of the text. Let me explain. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1. These are the words, so a veiled rebuke is going to be coming now, that Moshe spoke to Kol Israel, all Israel, beyond the Jordan, in the wilderness. Well, what happened in the wilderness? This is referencing the first sin of Israel. They complained about the lack of food back in Exodus chapter 16. You see, there's a little hint right here. You remember what you guys did back in the wilderness? In the plain. There's the second sin of Israel, the plain of Arabah. What did they do there? That was in Numbers chapter 36. That's where Balak and Balaam and the Midianite women were. Do you remember what you did in the plain? Your second sin. opposite the Sea of Reeds. Oh, we're going to die. There's not enough graves. There's graves for us. We're going to die. That's Exodus chapter 14, verse 11. We're going to die. There's no graves. Between Paran, what happened in Paran? That's where the Meraglim, the spies, gave a bad report. And Tophel, that means to falsely accuse. That's where they falsely accused. And Lavan, where we get Laban, it means white. What did they do there? That's where they were complaining about the manna. It's too white. It's too white for us. And Hazeroth, what happened at Hazeroth? That's the rebellion of Miriam. And later, the rebellion of Korah, the rebellion of Miriam and Aaron, and later, the rebellion of Korah. It all happened there. And Dizahav. Dizahav, it means abundance of gold in the Hebrew. What do you think they did there? They built a golden cow, a golden calf right there. So right here, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu is just, he's already hitting them. Just that veiled rebuke. I'm going to teach you the Torah, but I'm speaking to you now. And I'm just going to remind you of those seven sins, just off the bat, just in the locations where you went. And he goes on to say, in verse 3, and it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th moon, on the first day of the moon, that Moshe spoke to the children of Israel, according to all that Yahweh had given him, in mitzvot for them. And after he had slain Sihon, the Melech, the king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the Melech, king of Bashan, who dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei, beyond the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moshe began to declare this Torah, saying, Yahweh, our Elohim, spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites, and to all the places near there in the plain, in the hills and in the low country, and in the south and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon, to the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which Yahweh swore to your avot, your fathers, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, to give to them and to their zerah, seed after them. And I spoke to you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you alone myself. Verse 10. Yahweh, your Elohim, has multiplied you. And see, you are this day as the kochavim of the shamayim for multitude, as the stars of the heavens for multitude. Yahweh, Elohim of your avot, fathers, will make you 1,000 times more than you are now. And he'll bless you as he has promised you. How can I myself, all alone, bear your pressure and your burden and your strife? Take wise and understanding men known among your tribes, and I will make them heads over you. And you answered me and said, the thing which you have spoken, it is tov, it is good for us to do. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise men, men of renown, and made them heads over you. Captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, captains over fifties, captains over tens and officers. And I charged your shoftim, judges, at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brothers and judge in Zedekah righteousness, between every man and his brother and the gear stranger that is with him. You shall not respect persons in mishpat, judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man. For the mishpat, the judgment, belongs to Elohim. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it to me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things that you should do. When I read that, it strikes me. Yahweh is our Elohim. He is your Elohim. He is in a personal Elohim, and the Aleph Tav is how we get to make Yahweh our personal Elohim. It all ties together with this very first section of scripture, the word Devarim. From Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 3, verse 3, just within those few chapters, three chapters, 23 times, Yahweh Elohim. 23 times, Yahweh your Elohim. He's your Elohim. That means that he's not just what's happened in the past to you, Matthew. He's not just what you hope for in the future, Matthew. But he's your past, he's your future, and he works presently in my situation and your situation. He is your Elohim. That's what's so powerful here. That's what's so powerful. Yahweh Elohecha in the Hebrew. Yahweh Elohecha. Yahweh your Elohim. 224 times in the Torah, Yahweh says, he is your Elohim. He is your Elohim. 224 times. Personal. That's why we are to have the Aleph and the Taf, the Umin and the Thumin. So we can make him our personal Elohim. No longer being afar off, but we can draw close. 224 in the Torah, times in the Torah, Yahweh Elohecha. In the book of Genesis, Bereshit, Yahweh Elohecha, Yahweh your Elohim, appears just one time. In the whole book of Bereshit, he's only your personal Elohim, just the one time. In the book of Shemot, the book of Exodus, Yahweh Elohecha, Yahweh your Elohim, he's only your personal Elohim, just eight times. In the book of Vayikra, Leviticus, you know the book when you're in the church that no one wanted you to read? He's not your personal Elohim at all in the book of Vayikra. Not once. Not once. Book of Numbers, well, you don't want to read that. That's what they tell you, religion will tell you. It's all about the numbering of the tribes. He's not your personal Elohim there either. Not once. The reason why this book of Deuteronomy, Devarim, is so important, because Yahweh reveals himself to you personally. That's what we're going to be doing these next weeks, is as we read week to week, pray, Yahweh, reveal yourself to me personally, because that is what is the epitome of the book of Deuteronomy, Devarim. Yahweh is going to reveal himself to you personally a whopping 215 times. 215 times. He's going to call you on your knees and speak to you personally. I am the Aleph Tav. You can now come close to me. I want you to be my disciple. I am your personal Yahweh Elohecha. Your Elohim. 215 times. Just within those first three verses, like I said, 23 times. Of the 23 times Yahweh Elohim appears in chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 3, verse 3. Eight times he says he's Yahweh, your Elohim. Five times it's Yahweh, thy Elohim. And 10 times it's Yahweh, our Elohim. This is amazing. Because it's to a new generation that has actually witnessed the rock, grasped hold of that Torah. Yahweh is willing to reveal himself to us personally now, prophetically and powerfully. Yahweh wants to reveal himself to you personally, prophetically, and powerfully. Personally, prophetically, and powerfully. As the source of all your blessings, all of your covering, and all of your victory. That's what he wants to do. Look at verse 6 of chapter 1. Verse 6 of chapter 1. Yahweh, our Elohim. Look at verse 10. Yahweh, your Elohim. Look at verse 19. And when he departed from Horeb, we went through the entire huge and awesome wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as Yahweh, our Elohim. in verse 25. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it is a tov land that Yahweh, our Elohim, gives us. In verse 30, Yahweh, your Elohim, who goes before you. Verse 31, and in the wilderness where have you have seen how Yahweh, your Elohim. And in chapter 2, verse 1. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Sea of Reeds, as Yahweh had spoke to me. As Yahweh had spoke to me. And we circled Mount Seir many days. Because right now, Yahweh is wanting to make, I believe, just like in the Torah, a Brit Hadashah, a renewing of covenant. And that's what the olive tarf is all about. When we fail, when we fall flat, when we don't succeed in our generations, in comes that olive tarf to renew the covenant. So that we have an opportunity to go forward into abundance. That's what this is all about. That's the hope that is within us. We are never going to become Talmudim disciples without reading and absorbing and devouring the word of Yahweh. It's the most important thing that we can do. And then we have to make that Yahweh is our personal Elohim. And that comes through petition and prayer. Personal time with Yahweh. Believe me, I used to spend just a lot of time studying and studying and studying, and my prayer life was not good. And that led me to become very Pharisaic and very, very stringent and rigid. But now, through time of prayer, that I've become softened, and Yahweh's changing me and softening me more and more and more, because I understand. I say, I want to have your heart for your people. And that doesn't come through studying. That comes through prayer and petition. And Yahweh's been speaking to me and just saying, Matthew, all I want you to do is I want you to go out and look for one sheep at a time. Whether they're a lost sheep or whether they're a sheep that you know that needs to be bandaged and have their wounds taken care of. That's all you do. Everything else I will take care of. The ministry, your family, your business. Don't you concern yourself with any of that. One sheep at a time, whether they're lost or whether they're wounded. That's it. Every day he shows me one sheep. Every day. In the most strange places. And sometimes, oftentimes, to be honest, he'll show me something and I'll be like, yeah. Because I'm like, no. And then something will happen again. I'm like, really? I got to go and talk to that person? This is really embarrassing. I think I'm just way too much time on my own. I mean, obviously I'm with my wife and my kids, so I don't have a lot of time on my own. But, you know, in my mind, in the scriptures, you know how it is. Anyway, I digress. We are, brethren, that new generation. The olive tarf can renew covenant and bring us into something so wonderful. Each generation is given the opportunity to confess their sins and the sins of their forefathers. And then when we do that, we can re-enter the covenant. Just because you've heard that the previous generations did away with the Torah, you don't have to follow after those generations. Just because you heard that the previous generations nailed the Torah to the cross, or they discarded it, don't let their decisions affect your decisions today. We have to be that new generation. What they have decided is what they have decided, but that isn't going to affect my decisions today. The Torah is good, just, righteous, and holy. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? Devarim, the words will set you free from your generations. That's my testimony. I know it. Devarim is a repetition of Torah. But what about a repetition of generational sin? I mean, that's what we see. If we're not going to repeat the Torah, then we will repeat generational iniquity. Look what the children of Israel did. From the first generation to the second generation, if you were to turn to the book of Shemot, Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 through verse 35, you see the infamous golden calf. And later on, there's another infamous incident with the Baal Peor, the Midianites, the Moabites, in Numbers chapter 25, verse 1. They always stand out to me. You want to see generational sin? Compare the two incidents between the golden calf, Exodus 32, and the incident in Baal Peor in Numbers chapter 25. Look at the generational sins that are repeating themselves from one generation to another. They repeat. I'll list them. In both incidents, the incident with the golden calf, one generation, and then an incident with the Midianites and Baal Peor, Bar Midbar, Numbers 25. It was a festival. Previous generation had a festival. They were going to have a festival. They were going to have false Moedim, just like the previous generation had false Moedim. And they were going to do it to a false god, a false Elohim. They repeated it generationally just the same. They both worshipped false Elohim. Previous generation, that generation. They both made sacrifices, both generations, to a false Elohim. The sin that happened at the golden calf and the sin that happened with the incident at Baal Peor, they both happened out of impatience. Both generations were totally impatient. The leaders were carrying out divine retribution. Both of them. Who carried out divine retribution at the golden calf? The leaders from the tribe of Levi. Who carried out divine retribution at the Baal Peor incident? Pinchas of Levi, Phinehas. They both, in both incidences, the generational sin is the same. They both prostrated and bowed down before a false Elohim. In both incidents, Yahweh's anger, it just waxed hot. They both ate of the false sacrifices too. I mean, generational iniquity to the T. A segment of the nation is called out to destroy the unrepentant sinners at the golden calf. And a segment of the nation is called out to destroy the unrepentant sinners at the incident at Baal Peor. In both incidences, there's a generational blessing. The tribe of Levi is blessed at the golden calf, and the tribe of Levi is blessed and receives a reward. The Levites take a place of the firstborn in the golden calf, and Pinchas, Phinehas, receives what? The covenant of shalom, the covenant of peace. Some of the rebellious idolaters are killed by a man, and others die in a plague, both at the golden calf and at the incident of Baal Peor. Because if we don't listen to the Torah, we will repeat the mistakes of our generations. But when we come into the Torah, when we grasp hold of the Aleph Tav, the Alpha and the Omega, if you will, the first and the last, then we can now petition Yahweh through our generations and be set free and enter a renewing of the covenant. That's what binds us together. Yeshua is what binds us together because he truly is the Aleph Tav. But what happens to the fathers, brethren? It will happen to the descendants if we don't repent. That's why it's so important that we show up here, that we study to show ourselves approved, and we spend time prostrating before Yahweh and saying, Yahweh, you are my Elohim, and I have access to you just like the Kohen Hagadol did through the Urim and the Thumim, the Aleph and the Tav. I know that I have access just to be able to come into the Kadosh place, the holy place. Not the Kadosh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, but the holy place. I have access because
I can come through the Aleph and the Tav. Devarim, Devar, the word of Yahweh. The word, do you agree? Tell me if I'm just talking to myself. Do you agree that the word of Yahweh, the word, the Aleph Tav, heals us? I mean, I have been healed. And I know, brethren, you look at me and go, I know I got a lot of problems. And I do. And I need more healing. I do. But brethren, be patient with me, please. If you understood where I've come from and what I have come out of, then I think you'd be a lot more patient with me. I mean, if you want to know what I've come out of and where I've come from, just go talk to my wife. I mean, I've come from a long way, and it's all because of the Aleph and the Tav that I can even stand here before you. The sister said that the words that Matthew prophesied, they were right on. It's not me. I haven't a clue what I'm doing. It's only Yahweh through his son that I can even stand before you. Can you believe I used to be terrified of public speaking? And now you can't shut me up. You know, just rattling on. The word is what heals. The word, brethren, is what holds us together. And I'm going to finish now. This is going to hit you. Because, brethren, things are happening in the scientific realm. And I shared this with you last week and the week before, that scientists, biologists, people that are studying DNA and chromosomes, that through the internet, things are being published. That these scientists, that if they actually publish them through their universities, they will not get the next year's grant and funding. You understand how that works. They cannot. So what do? They publish it under an alias on the website, on the internet. Because they are discovering amazing things about this beautiful thing. What does it say in Colossians? By him, the Aleph Tav, all things are held together. Brethren, this is a laminin protein. This is laminin protein right here that holds our whole bodies together. When the writer of the Brit Hadashah said, by him, Aleph Tav, all things are held together, he was talking about the laminin protein that is this very protein in the sign of the Tav that holds us together. That truly, Yeshua is what even keeps our skin on our bodies. And this is verified by scientists. He, the Aleph Tav, is what holds us together. And we read it and read it and read it. But now scientists are saying, this is true. It's laminin. It's a protein in your body that without it, you would just be a blob. Like that guy from the Terminator. When Arnold gives him a run for his money, you'd be a blob on the floor. I mean, some of us may be feeling like a blob, you know? That means we just got to eat raw. Work out more. By him, the Aleph Tav, all things are held together. Laminin protein holds us together. That is an actual laminin protein. Look at that. This is how scientists, biologists, molecular scientists, this is from their textbooks, exactly the protein. Look. Does it hold us together, brethren? It holds us together here too. Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? You. I mean, blood is thicker than water if it's the blood of the Mashiach. It's the Aleph Tav, right? Oh, I love it. Hallelujah. Baruch Hashem Yahweh. I am so excited to get into the book of Devarim. I'm so excited that we're going to be hopefully having brethren from the community here next week when we do the Salem conference, and that we can humble ourselves and serve one another. And I'm really excited that we've got a fabulous Sukkot planned in just a couple of months up at Fisherman's Bend. So we'll have all of those announcements. You can go to the website and find that out. But things are happening in our lives personally, in the community, and what Yahweh is doing. It's an honor and a privilege that we can come together.
So let's finish our time together right now with a blessing, and we'll open up the tables and we'll work on digesting some protein to go out together with our laminin protein so we don't all fall on the floor and become blobs. Amen. Baruch atah Yahweh Eloheinu, Melech ha'olam, borei menei mazonot. Blessed art thou, Yahweh our Elohim, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by thy commandments and brings forth diverse foods. Amen.